from KNX News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Hey, it's Charles, and Margaret Carrero is back with us. Hey, Margaret.
Hello, good to see you.
Same. We are almost there. One day left, and I think we can now just about see that finish line. All the campaigning and money spent comes down to what voters are doing now and what they will do tomorrow. Now, speaking of money, on today's Countdown 2024, rent control. Many people feel rent is already, as they say, too damn high. I've heard that, haven't you?
Many times.
And now they'll have a chance to do something about it. Voters are being asked once again to decide on a statewide ballot measure that would make it easier for cities to enact rent control. It's called Prop 33. So we are going to hear from both the yes and the no sides on what is a, maybe surprisingly to some, not surprisingly to others, contentious issue. But right now, this.
The University of Florida Election Lab says more than 78 million votes have been cast early, either in person or by mail. Data from just over half the states that report party affiliation find slightly more registered Democrats, 14.8 million, have voted ahead of Election Day compared to 14.1 million registered Republicans.
One swing state says it is going to have election results quickly. Georgia's Secretary of State says about 70% of votes will be counted by an hour after polls close tomorrow. We should be that lucky in California,
right?
He says the historic number of people in the state have voted early or via absentee ballot, meaning those votes will be ready for tabulation pretty quickly.
And U.S. intelligence officials say a Russian disinformation group is behind a false claim that Sean Diddy Combs paid Vice President Harris and her husband, Doug Emhoff, $500,000 to warn him of police raids on his homes. Officials have also warned that Russian influence actors were also behind a video that claimed Haitians illegally voted in Georgia.
Well, the last thing any renter wants is that letter from a landlord saying the rent is going up. Well, now another state measure, Prop 33, looks to open the door for more rent control laws. But could they do more harm than good? With us now is Leah Simon Weisberg from the Yes on 33 side. She's the executive director of Movement Legal, which helps tenants with legal services. And Daniel Yukelson represents the No side. He's the executive director of the Apartment Association of Greater Los Angeles. Both of you, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us on.
Let's start with you, Leah. Why is there a need for this proposition? There have been numerous attempts, as you know, in California over the past few years to make it easier for cities to have rent control, and they failed. Why do we need one, though?
Well, we need one because we continue to have a housing affordability crisis, and that because, as we all know, you know, the price of housing has outpaced the increases in wages, and that the average person is rent burdened, and more people are have been unable to get that same stability by buying a home. And, you know, essentially the kind of housing crisis we have is one that's going to take many different tools. Yes, building more affordable housing. But the thing that's powerful about rent control and the rent control that if 33 passes, we will be able to stabilize more units. And what we're talking about is that Costa-Hawkins prevents cities from essentially regulating housing that, well, so for example, in Los Angeles, the cutoff date is 1978. And if 33 passes, the city of Los Angeles could say, you know what, we're going to extend this to all housing that was built up until 20 years ago. So we could still have a new construction exemption, but it'll cover a lot more units. So a lot more people will be able to live in housing where the rents are stabilized. What I think people don't realize is that there's like a moment of time kind of cutoff that Costa-Hawkins imposed. And so you'll have communities like Berkeley, Santa Monica, Los Angeles, where, you know, you only can have rent stabilization if you live in a property that was built before 1978 or 1980 if you're in Oakland. Cities that have passed it in the last, 8 years, they've been able to protect people up through 1995 because of the way Costa-Hawkins was written. And so I think one of the biggest changes we'll see is so many more units that were built up until the last 20 years will become covered. We believe cities would move to do that. And that would make a big difference for, you know, from the perspective of stability without preventing people from building new units.
All right, Leah. So Daniel, why no on Prop 33?
Well, I have to say we agree on one thing. There is a supply issue here in California, but you know, Proposition 33 would just have the exact opposite effect. We need more construction. We have a major supply issue here in California, and we need to construct more housing and different types of housing. And passage of Prop 33 would leave absolutely no incentive for anybody to want to construct new housing. And I wish it was as simple as just making the cutoff at 20 years for new construction. It's much more than that. Local rent control regimes could impose rent control on single family homes, condominiums, ADUs, a bedroom that you may rent in your house, in addition to all types of new construction. And so it would really, this Proposition 33 is NIMBYism to the nth degree. It really is. And local cities could use that to avoid the state mandates to construct more housing by imposing all these strict rent controls on right. developers.
But let me ask you this, Daniel, and let's use the 1975 year as the cutoff. So for many communities in California, as we were just talking about, anything after 75 wouldn't be rent controlled. Things before 75 probably would or could be. But since 75 in those communities where they weren't able on new construction to impose strict rent control, rent stabilization standards, there hasn't exactly been an explosion of affordable housing being built. And what was blocking that? Because landlords could build new things and you know, charge market value, but the stuff that's been going up has not exactly been affordable housing.
Well, there is some rent control on those types of properties. There is state rent control, the Tenant Protection Act or Assembly Bill 1482. Well, the other side of the equation is all these regulations we have here in California that make it difficult to build. We have the California Environmental Quality Act that really makes it a challenge to want to build new housing. We have all kinds of zoning restrictions and, there's size issues that we just can't build the density we need to build. And we need to build, you know, different types of housing. We need to build cooperative living situations. We need to build micro units. And we need to build more mixed use. And, you know, there's a lot of cities out there that restrict these, or it's the state that makes it very challenging to build. And one third of your costs to develop anything here in California go into just entitlements, even before you can put a shovel into the ground. And we need to streamline all that.
Leah, I wonder your take on the idea that passage of Prop 33 would ultimately lead to no incentives for new housing to be built.
Well, I think actually, ironically, Daniel, I think, you know, proved my point that Proposition 33, or the point I'm about to make, that Proposition 33 won't have any impact on that. And I think that, first off, you know, all that 33 does is say the state no longer is going to bar it and each community can decide. And I think that that's a really powerful tool to be able to do that on a local level. And I think one thing that's really interesting to note is that cities that have rent stabilization and have had it actually have seen more construction. So the city of Berkeley, the city of Santa Monica, the city of San Francisco, which, you know, have had some of the stronger ordinances, have actually seen, you know, significantly more. And then you contrast that to cities
is it more construction of housing, period? Or are we talking about more construction of affordable housing? Because I think that's the key to this discussion.
Housing. Cities that have rent stabilization have by far built more affordable housing. And I think it's also important, I mean, I think, you know, your point of distinguishing between affordable housing and market rate housing that doesn't have any expectation that it is going to be, you know, affordable, that having rent stabilization or not, of course, has no impact whatsoever on the construction of affordable housing, because affordable housing means that it's being built with tax credits or government funding. And yes, it's already regulated. What we're talking about is the regulation of privately owned housing. And so I think that the argument is, well, if it's rent controlled, then people aren't going to build it because they're not going to make enough profit. But we know that people who develop properties, they only intend to own the property for about 3 years. And then they move it on. And the other thing is that in any kind of rent stabilization or rent control that would be passed at the local level would always have a constitutional, that the owners always have a constitutional right for a reasonable return on investment. And so so that means that anybody is going to make a profit. And so, and we know that. And that's going to, you know, it's hard to imagine a world where that we wouldn't have, you know, the Supreme Court consistently making that decision. So that's why it will never have an impact, a negative impact towards affordable housing.
All right. We are speaking with Leah Simon-Weisberg on the yes side of the Prop 33 debate, and as well Daniel Uchelson, who represents the no side. More on that to come with Countdown 2024, brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice. LLS.edu/radio.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. One day left. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero.
And today we are debating Prop 33, which is all about rent control in a state where rising rent is always a major concern. With us for the yes side is Leah Simon-Weisberg. On the no side is Daniel Uchelson. Daniel, I'm curious, would there have been some sort of a compromise from the yes folks on 33 that you would have been comfortable with, or is any kind of rent control for you a non-starter?
Well, let me explain the landscape of rental housing providers. Over 85% of the rental housing in California is owned by independent owners, moms and pops, a lot of them are retirees. And these rent control regimes we have in some of these local jurisdictions are just killing them. It's stealing their retirement income, and a lot of them aren't able to survive, particularly after the high inflation we've had over the last 4 years, and also the freeze on rent increases that some cities like Los Angeles had implemented. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, there really is not a compromise. We've had rent control in place here in California for nearly five decades. And as a result, we have major housing shortages. We have skyrocketing rents because we don't have enough supply to keep up with growing demand. And we have the worst homelessness situation. And we really need to take a look at these rent control policies we've had and rebalance them and make it survivable for everybody. No one wants to see people lose their housing because they can't afford it, but there's much more targeted approaches that we could use, including rent subsidies. You know, a lot of times renters are under rent control, but they're wealthy and they can afford to pay the rent, and they shouldn't be benefiting by these subsidies that are forced upon private property owners. We don't have a private welfare system here in California or in the United States at all. And so we really need to take a sweeping look at these nearly five-decade-old policies and revamp them pretty quickly. Otherwise, we're going to continue to have housing shortages and skyrocketing rents and a major homelessness problem that we see on our streets today.
Leah, I wanted to ask you, there were at least a couple of ballot initiatives previously to either amend or repeal Costa-Hawkins, and neither of them were successful. Why Prop 33? Why do you think this time is the right time?
Well, I think that when we poll folks on whether they like the concept of rent stabilization, and particularly in communities that have it, it's very popular. And I think that if you look at the campaigns, Yes on 33 is actually reporting what it actually does and is, you know, pretty, you know, says we want to, you know, give the local communities the right to decide, where the no on 33 is actually filled with things that aren't true. And we all know that they did polling and showed that that rent stabilization is popular, and that the only strategy to make 33 lose is by confusing people or really telling them it does something totally different. And so when you know that you're only losing because of the amount of money, and, you know, we're looking at you know, some almost $500 million have been spent to try and defeat Proposition 33. And so what that means is that if we had an honest fight, that 33 would definitely win. Why now? Because, you know, it's a policy that could help immediately. It's not expensive. And, you know, if the economy, if we're all struggling because none of us can afford to pay with our rent and can never afford to save money to get into a mortgage, this can make a big difference.
Leah, you said, you said that there are things in the on the no side that were just not true. Very briefly, name two.
That if Proposition 33 passes, that over 100 housing laws will be overturned is not true. That cities could pass laws that would make it impossible for anybody to, that could make the amount of rent you could charge so low that they wouldn't be able, you know, they'd go out of business or they'd go bankrupt or they wouldn't be able to afford also.
Okay, Daniel, is she right about that?
No, she's not right because it gives local jurisdictions unlimited power to impose any kind of rent restrictions that they want. And that could discourage a lot of the state mandates to construct more housing. And it's not $500 million that was spent to oppose this thing. It's quite a bit less than that. And the biggest spender in this whole campaign is Michael Weinstein himself, the declared slumlord by the LA Times. So, you know, we should get our facts a little straighter here.
So this is the closing argument stage, and you don't have a lot of time. So, Leah, you first.
So, right now, we know in Los Angeles, the Democratic Party supports Proposition 33. City Council of Los Angeles and the supervisors of the County of Los Angeles all support 33. And they are supporting it because they know that if we have rent stabilization, we will the tenants will be able to pay lower rents, which will stabilize our communities. We know that based on a recent study by the Economic Roundtable, in the city of Los Angeles, tenants who live in rent stabilization on average pay $900 less in rent a year. That is, you know, it, and, you know, and that is significant, and that'll make a huge difference. And this is without any taxpayer funding. This is immediate. And so if you live in a property that was built in 1979 in Los Angeles, and as a result, you don't have rent stabilization, Proposition 33 passes, you will have rent stabilization, and that will stabilize our communities. And we know that it works for the units that have it, and we need more units to be able to have these protections.
Okay, very good. Daniel, you are the no on Prop 33, your closing argument.
Sure. You know, ironically, Prop 33 does not construct even one unit of housing, let alone affordable units. And study upon study has shown that rent control is a failed policy. And that's why we're in the housing crisis we're in today. You look at other states like Texas and Florida, and they're keeping up with their demand, and rents in those states have stabilized. In some cases, they've even declined. And that's why Governor Newsom, the YIMBY groups, the LA Times, San Francisco Chronicle have all come out against Prop 33. And what we need to do is we need to build more housing here. We need incentives to be able to do that. And we need to stop singling out people that own private property to provide a private welfare system to renters. It's up to the government's job to provide rent subsidies to people that can't afford to pay their rent. And it's not up to private citizens and private property owners to put up the money for those types of things.
Thank you again to Daniel Uchelson there, the no side for Prop 33, and Leah Simon-Weisberg with the yes on Prop 33.
Tomorrow on Election Countdown 2024, we will go overseas to find out what some of our allies think about the election. And if you're one of those people considering leaving the country after the election, we are going to help make it easy for you.
That should be fun.
it should be. Also, by the way, tomorrow after the show, stay tuned to KNX News, where we will have the only continuous, live, local, and comprehensive election night coverage in all of Southern California. Mike Simpson and I will break down all the results live as they come in starting at 5. And, you know, when you get home and you're out of your car, you can also watch our coverage live on YouTube starting at 7. That's at knxnews.com.